Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Frances Flanagan. This is Don't Get Me Started, a live call-in show with Linda Darlow. Linda has 50-plus years in show business, so get ready. She's frank, she's funny, and most importantly, she is inspirational. So here's Linda.
Hi, everybody. To those people who are back for a second show, welcome back. And for any newcomers, welcome. This episode is called Who is Linda Darlow? So it's your chance to ask me any questions you might have. And it's your only chance because all the shows following this one will be about you. Just a reminder, a couple of things. The number that you call in on is a U.S. number, so it might be long-distance charges. And there is a bit of a delay between us hearing you and you hearing us, so just be mindful of that. That's about it. I have my team with me today. I have my producer, Colin Neufeld.
Hello.
Who is really instrumental in getting the show off the ground. He's the one who found Blog Talk for me. Technologically savvy. He's willing to put up with me. I pay him in cookies. And I ask and he handles it. And I also have my marketing guru, Nicole Edwards.
Hello.
She is very knowledgeable about internet promoting. She's fast. She's thorough. She's a perfectionist to my advantage, and she puts up with my change of mind and my internet ignorance. So welcome you two.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks
and
for having us.
They are going to lead us off today with some questions from me until someone gets brave enough to call from out there. So be kind and take it away. Nicole, you first.
I would love to know, how old were you when you knew that you wanted to be an actress?
I knew for sure when, well, my dad was in the business, so I was always around it and they were my people. But when I was a sophomore in high school, how old are you when you're a sophomore in high school? 16-ish, maybe? And I went to an all-girls Catholic school. And the nun asked us one day what we were going to do when we grew up, and nobody had ever asked me before. And I went, I guess I'm going to be an actress. And then I thought, well, I better get on it. Because Patty Duke had her own show on television already. And we were about the same age. I was like, I'm behind.
Well, that leads me to my next question. After making that decision, what did you do to move forward to becoming a professionally working actress?
A lot of things. Years worth of things. When I got, well, first of all, my parents, particularly my dad, insisted that I go to university. And every Sunday we would argue about whether I was going to go to university or not. I just wanted to go into Manhattan and start working in shows. But he was pretty insistent. He won. So I went to Hofstra University. I majored in performance and minored in theater tech because I knew what I wanted to do. And so I finished university, and then I went to summer stock during university to get as much experience as I could, and spent a couple of years in summer stock as an apprentice, not as an actor, because, I was still young, and then back into the city for starting to make the rounds and do extra work, and then study, and have real jobs. And
so you did start doing extra work in the beginning in film and TV?
Mostly film. Although I did have a job as a stand-in on Facts of Life for 7 or 9 years.
Cool.
Wow.
While I was looking for work, I landed a really good job.
So were there ever times that you thought about quitting acting, that it was too hard and maybe another direction was?
Every day. By the end of the day, I would quit the business, and then I would sign up in the morning. And I spent a lot of time in New York, and I would pray. I would actually pray that God would send me signs to get me out of the business. I'm like, tell me what I should do. Just show me, give me a sign that says, get out. And then he would send me a job in a dinner theater somewhere. So I'd go, okay, all right, I'll stay in for this time. And I'd go do a show, and then I go back and nothing, and pray some more. Show me, let me out of the business. And
were
then
there
they
long
give me another
periods
job.
Of time between like those jobs in dinner theater, live theater, stand-in, like auditions? What did that look like in New York? Was it busy?
It was pretty busy, but I really wanted to be in the business. I mean, I did showcase after showcase for nothing while I had daytime work, and I would do some extra work, and it took forever to even get an agent who started to get me some auditions, and it was a long haul. It was a long haul. Lots of showcases and extra work.
So two questions off that.
Mm.
What did you do during the day for day work, and how long, like how old were you when you got the agent?
I have a story for everything. I just had jobs in offices, mostly, being a secretary. But I would try to keep it somewhere in the industry. So I was a secretary to an agent in the city. And I had an office job in a Super 8 film company that was just, you know, a marketing administration position that I hated. Oh, that's not supposed to happen. We need to somehow stop that. Turn it on and off. Sorry about that, everybody. I thought technologically challenged Linda couldn't turn her phone off. We got it now. Where was I?
Film.
Oh, doing film jobs. And then I was out of town in some other city, visiting another actor friend of mine who was doing a show, and his agent was in the back of the house, and so was I. And we had a little conversation, and he asked me to come and see him in New York. And I was like, yeah? I didn't believe him. He's like, yeah, come and see me. I'm like, yeah, right. And I said, I'm gonna. He went, well, I want you to. And then I went back home, and I called, and I said, yeah, well, so here I am. And he went, well, yeah, so come in. And that's how I got my first agent in town.
And how old were you?
Oh, gosh. Well, I had a little bout with a broken leg for a while from a skiing accident. So I was probably in my early 20s before that happened.
How long after you got your agent until you got your first job?
Not counting extra work, I'm assuming.
Yeah, like 3 years.
Well, and then I moved to L.A. from New York and started jobbing there, and had to get new agents and start all over again. So it wasn't until, I don't even know what my first job was. It might have been, I started doing commercials in L.A. That's what happened after I got my commercial agent, which took probably a couple of years in L.A. before. It's a long road, folks, for me anyway. I think we have a caller, so we're going to answer that call. Hi, who's on the line?
Yes, hi, my name is Patricia. I just called in to listen, and I don't know if she would answer any questions.
Yes, this is Linda, and I will be happy to answer your question.
Interesting enough, I was listening to a voiceover training, and I wanted to get into and learn voiceovers. Now, I've bought this course, and, you know, just practicing with, you know, reading chapters of books, magazines, and working with my breath. But with the changes with, you know, the whole universe has gone through since last year, and I'm starting out, so I don't have any mics or equipment yet.
Patricia, did you have a question for me?
Yeah. I need to know, what is the best effective way to start? And my area of interest would be commercials, explainer videos, e-learning.
Right. Now, I just want to remind you, this particular episode is supposed to be personal questions because it's your only chance to actually find out anything about me. But since you are here, I will answer your question. Where are you? Where are you calling
right
from?
Right now I'm in Ohio.
Ohio. Okay. If there are any courses, even a basic overall course in voice acting, I would check the internet, probably is your best bet. Look for a basic course, and or if there are any other voice actors in your area who might be able to help you learn about how to do it. I'm not familiar with your particular area, but I think any basic voice class would help a lot, because there's lots of different kinds of voice acting. I have done a little myself. I am currently a voice on a Japanese anime series at the moment. A little bit about me. But there are people who know how to cover all the different kinds of voice acting there is. Yeah. Do you have an agent?
No, I'm at my very start.
Okay. I would look for some kind of course. And now, since most courses are online anyway, I'm sure you can probably find some kind of voice class online. Have you looked on there?
Not yet, because I figured everything is going to be online.
Yeah, well, have a look for a class to take. It's okay not to know what you're doing. Get help. Right?
Okay.
Anything else?
Well, since you, I didn't call in at the start, so I didn't hear the directions. So how did you get your start?
Oh, my goodness.
In acting.
Just in high school, actually. And my dad was in the business. And so I started looking at all the books he had about the industry, and they fascinated me. And then when I got to high school and someone asked what I was going to do with my life, I said, I guess I'm acting. And then I just went to work to figure out how to do that with questions like yours. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Where were we, folks?
That was great.
That was fantastic.
My goodness. Ohio.
I'm right.
Wow. Cool.
What most embarrassing moment on set? Get some levity here.
No.
Yeah.
There's been a few. What?
start with the best one.
Oh God, there's so many. This is any actor who's ever auditioned can appreciate this one. I've done so many auditions before booking jobs that I'm just used to auditioning. Yeah. And so I booked a commercial, and it was just me sitting in a chair questioning a famous person, but we were only shooting my side of the actual commercial. The famous person wasn't there, but the whole crew was. I'm sitting in the chair, we're ready to go, and I have questions that I need to address to this other person, and then they're going to film him answering, right? So they said, rolling and action. And I slated my name. I said, hi, I'm Linda Darlo. And the director went, God, Linda, you already have the job. You didn't need to slate. And I had, it was a chair and there were like two palm trees on either side. I just wanted to like hide behind one of the palm trees. I was so mortified. The other biggie. In a courtroom, the director, I was at the prosecutor's table. The director knew I had students who were some of the extras in the room at the time. And the judge had this big, long speech, and I had one line. And I had more lines in the show, but this was just a one-line scene for me. And we're shooting. We get through all the judge stuff. They turn the camera around on me, and they're filming his whole speech and then my assertion of my line. And I'm listening. They're filming. And my line came, and I couldn't think of it to save myself. And he kept the camera rolling, and I am so desperately trying to remember this line. And I see out of the corner of my eye, I see the director, who was in a chair, slowly start to stand up very slowly. And finally he went, cut, Linda, what would your students think of you now? The end.
You didn't get to say your line that day.
Oh, I did. I laid down my head on the desk and begged my apologies. And we shot it. But yeah, that was pretty humiliating.
That's brilliant.
There you go. What else you want to know?
What, if anything, do you dislike about working in this industry?
The hours. As I get older, you know, 12, 14, 16-hour days are less appealing to me. There isn't much that I don't like. I complain about a lot of it, but doesn't mean I don't like it. If I didn't like it, most of it, I wouldn't be doing it.
So what do you like then? What are the best bits?
All I can think of is the smell of the grease paint, the roar of the crowd. I think that's from a show.
Oh, your little cheer squad.
I just love about shooting, I also teach. So there's also, and that for me is being in the industry as well. And I love everything about teaching. Acting, there's something about being around the circus and being around the Video Village and being on the set just feels like home. I also do plays occasionally, not recently, but I love live audience and stage, and that's my background anyway. I just love everything. Even there's an energy, there's an excitement. I scare myself every now and then. It's good to be scared every now and then. I'm pretty good at being scared. So, yeah.
For sure. What do you like most about teaching then? And after that, do you have a moment you can say where you're like, this moment happened and I was like, this is why I teach. This is...
I really like creating results for people. I like watching other people grow and get better at things. And I like to see light bulbs go off for people when they actually get some lesson or some logistical understanding or something meaningful for themselves, and that they then can carry on with that. It's all about self-expression, really, I think, and staying and being in your own power and sharing your power with the world. And that's what I think I try to help people do in a logistical setting of auditioning, because that's my specialty. And if anybody books anything, I'm over the moon.
Mm.
Yeah. Not me. I don't need to book. I mean, I like booking, but I don't.
Anything else? I have an entire page of questions. Don't you worry about that.
Okay, go.
So have you ever ended up working professionally with any of your students?
Yes. But the funnier story is auditioning with some of my students.
Go ahead.
Okay. A commercial audition. This fella had done my commercial course, and for some reason we were both in the room at the same time. And I don't even remember, but I had very specific rules that I would teach people about how auditioning and being in the room and things not to do. I don't even remember what it was, but whatever it was, he was off camera when I was on camera, and whatever was happening was exactly what I taught people never to do, ever. And there I was doing it wholeheartedly, fucking up majorly. And he was off camera, and I looked over, and he had this look on his face like, what the hell is happening? And I finished whatever this horrible audition was that I was doing, and I looked over at him, and I said, don't you ever do what I just did. And I walked out of the room. So, yeah.
What did you do?
I don't remember. I don't even remember, but it was awful.
You just remember the
feeling. It was like denying everything they were asking me to do. I was just having a bad day. And it's something I tell people never to do, you know. Just say yes and do whatever they're asking you to do is what you should do.
Did you stand there and say, I'm not doing that?
I don't remember what it was, but whatever it was it's something I tell people never to do. And I was just doing it all over the place.
Okay, so that's the audition example.
Yeah.
You have a professional work example.
No, I've enjoyed every minute of working with someone that I've taught.
It could be a great story.
It hasn't been, though. It's just been good working relationships, you know, and we know each other, and it's good. It's fun to work with people. You know, yeah.
Cheers.
Do you have a dream job? And then have you already had it, or do you still have one, or?
In film?
Yeah. A role that you would love to play, or?
In film.
Yeah.
Well, it would have to be a new script, so I don't really know. But I do have a script that I'm hoping gets done. And if it's... if it happens, it's a role I would love to do, and I see it being something that all of my years have built up for me to do. And I would love the challenge of that particular role and show. and I can't say any more about it yet.
Did you write it or did...
No. Actually, one of my students wrote it. So I have a good chance.
Inside track.
There's also another thing in the works, that a TV show that I did a pilot for, that I'm hoping might get picked up, and you know, maybe I'll get to audition for the role I did in the pilot, if I'm lucky.
When was that filmed?
A couple of years ago.
Is that how long it can take?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this other film project that I'm hoping to do, it was just maybe a year ago that I started trying to get it around to people, and some people are interested in it. But yeah, it's a long, slow process sometimes, most of the time.
So one of my questions was, have you ever written your own material, or is this the part where you always collab with other people?
I try to help other people out who I think have something good to sell or promote, and I try to help them as much as possible, whether I need to be involved in it or not. I am not a writer. Having said that, I did write a book, but I'm just not somebody who can write dialogue or any of that. So I just try to help other people who are good writers.
So what was your book that you wrote?
Oh, Audition Craft for Film and TV. Thanks for asking. And it's available through Friesen Press. And the link to Friesen Press is on my website, lindadarlow.com. And there's a link right to Friesen Press where you can purchase the book.
And what can you expect from reading your book?
Hopefully, not only a better understanding of how to logistically get through an audition and emotionally get through an audition as well. It's a how-to of all the things that I could think of and that I've been teaching for years and years and years about how to do a decent audition, not just for producers and directors, but for your own confidence and comfort and fun, so you can have fun doing your auditions.
Do you have a teacher or coach from your past who inspired you and you maybe have based any techniques on or anything, or just that you would say kind of inspired you as a teacher?
Lots of people. Actually, David Craig taught in L.A. Actors how to audition for musicals. It was one of the best acting classes I've ever had. Very disciplined. I've had some crazy kinds of classes too. So I've been through lots of different techniques, and ultimately I'm a fan of putting your own technique together and figuring out what works for you after looking at lots of options and what's available as far as acting. I don't follow any one technique.
So you have your own. So what does that process for you, like, you get a script, you're about to audition for it, you get like 24 hours to turn it around. Like, what is your process in that moment?
I actually started teaching audition technique because I hated auditioning. I confess. Hated it. Didn't really understand it, didn't know how to do it, tried to get out of doing them. And then I thought, well, I better learn how if I want a career. So in learning how to handle it, and Michael Shurtleff's book, Audition, meant a whole lot to me. Never studied with him. He was a New York producer who had a theater class in New York. But his words in this book meant everything to me. And I started kind of putting my own teaching style together based on his material in that book. And I started to actually do some of that stuff in my own auditions. And it started working. I started loving auditions. And I love auditions even now. So when I get a script, I can't stop working on it. I go through all of the, it's automatic now. I go through reading it, getting the analytical part of the scene over with. Where am I? What am I doing? Who am I talking to? How do I feel about all that? What's my goal? But all of those kinds of things. And then I start getting on top of the lines and looking at why my character is saying all of this stuff. And I put lots of hours into every audition that I do. To make it look like I know exactly what I'm doing and it's easy. But I love working on it like that. And
So could you spend an entire day, like, or like 5 hours just solidly working on an audition before you?
No, ultimately over the course of from the time I get the material until I actually do the taping now, it's sporadic. I have a lot of other things going on in my life. So I'll put it down, mm-hmm. the material, and then I'll have 10 minutes or 20 minutes somewhere along the way. I'll pick it back up and look at it, run the lines one more time, or think about it a little harder, you know, challenge myself with what I'm doing. And it goes in and out between. But the day of, I don't even answer the phone. The day of an audition, I'm all in until that audition is over. Mm. Yeah.
If you have a script that has multiple people in it or just a lot of like back and forth dialogues, do you learn the other person's lines as well? Or do you, what's your process for learning those lines and making sure that when you go in the room, you're like completely off book?
Well, first of all, learning lines is, memorizing is a muscle, mm-hmm. and the more you use that muscle, the easier and quicker you get. So I can learn lines pretty fast. I read the other person's lines for information, but I do not learn the other person's lines. I don't want to know what they're going to say, except when I'm analyzing. I want to hear the reader like I'm hearing that other person for the first time. So I don't spend a lot of time knowing what they're going to say because I want to, listening is everything for me in an audition. So I just want to hear what that person's going to say. So I don't bother with the other person's lines except in the analysis. Why, nobody's calling in either. No one's listening or...
This is valuable information. I think everyone is like caught up listening to all these stories.
Oh, don't you have a question? Come on. This is one of our... You know, our...
Okay, well, let's throw a celebrity at it then. Do you have a favorite person that you've ever worked with? Director, actor?
A couple of directors. One I just worked with not that long ago, David Strasser. He's amazing. Loved working with him on Just for the Summer, which I did last year. And Christopher Tabori. Who was my favorite until I worked with David. They've kind of switched places now. Really easy to work with, clear about his vision for the show, and just fun and complimentary and easy and available and willing to discuss a little bit and, you know, willing to put up with me.
So is that for you what makes a good director? They have to be willing to talk to you about the script, not just tell you what they want. You want to be involved?
No, I mean, I'm happy to do whatever you tell me to do. But if I feel very strongly, I will challenge you a little bit. But I don't like big discussion. They don't have time for that. You mm-hmm. know, we're doing a movie in 12 days. Come on. There's no time for discussion. Quick little chit chats like, you want me to what? I want you to do this. Okay, I'll do it.
Have you ever had any, like, yeah, you want me to what moments around something that you're like, that is just too much movement or, like, that doesn't really work, but I know I have to do it and that doesn't make sense, but maybe it looks great on camera. And then what do you do in those moments to talk yourself through that's okay, I can do this?
I just know that I am in service. It's his vision, her vision, whoever's directing. And ultimately, having said my version of whatever I'm thinking, if they say, no, we're doing it my way, then great, we're going to do it your way, because ultimately this is your show, not mine. So, yeah, I give over pretty easily. And, you know, if it doesn't work, hopefully you will see that and correct it. Not always the way it goes, but, yeah, it's not my money and I'm not in charge.
Yeah, so is that how you, like, you use the words, like, you're in service, like you, the entertainer, in service to the production, the director,
and the script. If I argue with anyone, it's because I want to support the script and the, you know, and the role as best I can. And if I think what they're asking is not going in that direction, then I'm going to challenge that a little bit. But for the most part, you know, it's one line. I think this, and you know, we're doing it my way anyway. I'm like, okay. We'll do it your way. As far as working with people, I've been really lucky working with so many pretty big names that were mostly terrific to work with. Not going to go into any names, ones I liked or ones I didn't like.
Okay.
Sorry.
No.
But for the most part, just people who work hard and want whatever show they're working on to be really good. Mm-hmm. I've been very lucky. Yeah. And if it's an asshole, I just try to stay away.
Do your job.
And do my job. Yeah.
So what can we, is there any movie at the moment, TV show, commercial, what can we see you in? Or it doesn't have to be right now. It could be in the past that we could go back and watch. Like, what is something that you're really proud of?
Geez, I don't even know.
Your list is too long.
One of my favorite shows, just personally, was a little short film I did called Auburn Hills Breakdown. I don't even know if you can see it anywhere. I played a hillbilly cannibal, and it was so much fun. It was a comedy horror short film. To this day, I can still look at that and just, that was fun. What fun. It was such a character stretch, and I don't always get to stretch like that. And it kind of suited me, I hate to say.
Remind us of the title again. You played a
hillbilly cannibal in Auburn Hills Breakdown.
Wow.
It's a very funny film. It's awesome. Great actors. The cast was spectacular.
Did you win any awards?
No. My award was doing it. Loved doing it. And then that's where I met this writer, producer, director team. This couple worked as a team who work in the industry, behind the scenes mostly, who wrote, directed, and produced this project. And then I got to do three other projects with them.
Wow.
So that was a reward.
So how did you come to that? Did that come through your agent, or do you go out and seek opportunities either through word of mouth or indie projects that come to you other ways?
That particular one happened to be an audition.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it just comes through students I've worked for, that I've taught.
Mm-hmm.
That particular one was an agent, and then it becomes, you know, just come do our next project with us as well. So it's just relationships you establish, and then you get asked to do things, which is why I actually called this episode Who is Linda Darlow, because there's four stages to an actor's career. You know what they are? First one is Who is Linda Darlow? The next stage is Get Me Linda Darlow. And the third stage is Get Me a Linda Darlow Type. And then the last stage of a career is Who is Linda Darlow? Not sure where I am yet in this mix. Probably somewhere around Get Me a Linda Darlow type, and who is Linda Darlow on the back end of it all. Yeah. Yeah.
What makes you say that?
Well, just because, you know, nobody's writing any shows much for us old gals. Not a lot of auditions to do, or roles to be seen for, which is fine with me. I'm way more into teaching than I am acting now. Actually doing this show. I love doing this thing.
Awesome. Between theater and film,
mm-hmm.
which do you prefer? Or are they just completely different, offer different things?
Totally different. I do film because it's a medium I'm still trying to understand fully. I'm still challenged by. It's so technical. But I do theater still, and I will always love theater. I do that for my soul. And also continuity, you know. In a stage show, you take the story from the beginning to the end. In film, you shoot the end of the story first, and then you go back and do the middle, and then you might do some of the beginning, and then you go back. It's a bit more of a mix for an actor. I love both for different reasons. Yeah. And film pays better. It's just the way it is.
So do you encourage actors today that have access to like Netflix and streaming shows and things like that, that I guess weren't around necessarily when you were young, to actually seek out live theater and live performances to do themselves or be a part of? Because it's something I think that it could skew really heavily to like really film orientated. So you almost become like I know you call it like a talking head. Would you tell people to go back to theater? Is that a really good training ground?
I don't think theater trains you for film at all. I just don't. They're two completely different mediums. If you want to do theater, go do theater. But at the moment, there isn't really much of that to do.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have never been on stage and still have great acting careers, mostly in film and some in commercials. Some people just do voiceovers. Whatever you want to pursue. My background is theater from university, and I love it. And I also love film. But there are some people who also have done some film classes with me and gone, I hate this. I'm going back to theater. So it just depends on what you want to do. And because they're such different mediums, I think you should learn about each separately.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been doing it for so many years, I can kind of go back and forth between and not get too messed up by it. But if you're really new and you suddenly do theater, it could distract you from your ability in film and vice versa. I worked with an actress that I admired on television. I was very excited to get a chance to work with her because I loved her work. I didn't even really know who she was. I'd just seen her in a lot of things. And I'm like, she's really good. And then she was doing a play, actually Dinner Theater. And I got a role in this show with her and Robert Reed, actually. And we get out there and she's never done a play. She's only done film. It was a nightmare. She kept changing. We never knew what she was going to do or where she was going to be on the set. Or it was so frightening. And she had no clue about doing a play. And we didn't know how to handle that on a stage. And she felt terrible. And we all, you know, we tried to, you know, get her up to speed. Like, you can't just keep doing how you feel every night. You have to kind of stay in the same spot, you know, so when we come in, we see where you are, you know, and this is how I'm feeling right now. No, that isn't, you know, exactly the way it's going right now. We can't change the end of the play. it was eye-opening. And, of course, Robert, who had worked with her in film, which is why he wanted her to do this play, apologized to all of us. He had no idea that she had never done a play, and she felt terrible, and she was a great person. We all adored each other, and everybody did in this show. And, you know, we did our best to get her up to speed, but it was frightening. Not knowing what was going to happen. So they're very different mediums, and you need to stay in your lane unless you're well-versed in both, and then you can kind of flip back and forth. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a bit of a big one, but what are you most proud of about yourself, about your career? I mean, at this point, you should be proud. But, you know, how do you feel when you think about, you know, your career over the last 50 plus years?
That I made it through.
And are still going.
That I survived so far. That I actually had a career.
Have
a career. This is a tough business. And I don't work at it as hard as I could have. So in that sense, I think I've been fortunate to have had as many opportunities as I've had. Now I used to call myself an actress who taught. Now I've switched it around. I'm really a teacher who acts occasionally. And I think the thing I'm proudest of is all the people who have been through classes and have felt better about what they're doing. I also lead Performers Mastery Program, which is a weekend workshop. And I think I'm proudest of leading that workshop because in a weekend, I don't do it alone. I have other co-leaders and support people doing it with me. I'm proudest of that because it's actually changed people's lives and actually saved some lives. And I can't think of anything more rewarding on this planet than changing people's lives for the better and actually saving some along the way, literally. That's what I'm most proud of.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to be proud of.
We can't do them at the moment because of this COVID thing we're going through. Because it's a very expressive workshop, more theatrical than anything else. And so we're down at the moment and looking forward to coming back with it. Maybe later this year or next year.
It's possible.
Hopefully for everybody's sake. Yeah.
Just wanted to swing back around to something that you said, that you're very fortunate because you've been very lucky, not necessarily because you feel like you worked as hard as maybe you could have worked. And I want to clarify that, because from my perspective, I see you working incredibly hard with all the auditions that you do, all the teaching that you do. I know you personally, you've raised a daughter and you've done incredibly well.
Being
like a single mom. And,
yeah,
you know, so what does that mean to you? Like, what would you have liked to have done more of or trained, or why do you feel that way?
Because there's always more you can do, I suppose. But I know that what I did do was keep showing up and creating for myself, staying engaged in it, active in it, being disciplined enough to spend maybe just enough time doing whatever I needed to do. coming to Canada, for instance, I didn't know anyone in the business. There really wasn't much of a business 35, 40 years ago up here anyway. All I could think of to do was get the phone book out and call all the casting directors and agents in town.
And just introduce yourself.
Yeah. So that's what I did.
Wow.
And I offered to take them to lunch.
Did that work?
Which it turned out they were quite happy to take advantage of. So casting directors and I had been invited up here to do workshops as a teacher. So I knew a couple of agents already. And so that intro was, you know, kind of easy for me. But yeah, I just called everybody and I didn't know if I'd act when I got up here because I had fallen in love with a Canadian and that's why I was here. I figured somebody would be happy to have me in a community theater project and I would teach. And that's what happened. But then just as I got here in the 80s, the business moved up here.
It followed you.
It followed me. I wish I could say I knew what the hell I was doing, but I didn't. I came up here for love and found a career.
I feel like you should take credit for it anyway. Yeah. I feel like you were responsible for all of that work coming out here.
Your
and
good
everybody
vibe.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit of a pioneer. I'm, you know, I'm not afraid to be afraid every now and then and just jump in, take the plunge, make the call, make the connection, and state my case and do what I have to do. And I always thought that I would get wherever I was going to get to based on whatever ability I did have. And so I think that's helped me along the way.
Your natural talent.
I don't know. I learned ability more than natural, I think. I really had to work at this. I wasn't that good when I started out. In fact, I think I sucked. I was not good.
What made you say that?
I just didn't know how to do it. And then I took a lot of classes and I learned how to do it.
What do you think the misconception about like people who think that acting is like simple because in everyday life we're just being, and then you get to a stage or you get to film and it's like, oh, wait a sec. And there's all this technique. So is that the part that you're talking about? Like that's the hardest thing for you that you had to learn all those things. Like what was difficult about it and what's easy not? Now for you?
I didn't have back in the day because, you know, we're talking, I was out of university in the 60s. I was, you know, we didn't even have computers. Come
wow,
on.
Power.
Or cell phones or anything else. There were no film classes because film was not a learned subject yet. In universities, it was still all theater training. And so, of course, that's what I went for. So I felt more comfortable and confident on stage. Mm-hmm. But then getting stage work was crazy hard. And certainly being in L.A. and then film and television started really taking off. And there was lots more content and a lot more jobs available and a lot more commercials happening and all of that stuff. And I remember auditioning live. There was no such thing as tape. Yeah, there were only live auditions.
And how many people were in the room?
A bunch. It was all producer and director. They had to be there because it was all live, right?
So that was like a callback is now. It's like that's your first
call. Totally, yeah.
Wow. And
yeah, that was the only thing there was it, unless a casting director wanted to pre-screen you. Mm-hmm. And then you might have to just do one-on-one with the casting director.
Was that like what they would call like a general audition where you go?
No, it would be a pre-screen for a particular role if they didn't know you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just went to a producer director. That was the audition. That's what there was to do.
And
then
that
film,
time,
to learn film, you learned on the set.
Yeah.
I still don't totally understand all the camera lenses. I don't really get that but I figured there's somebody there who's going to help me with that. Right? I just go to the DOP. What shot are we in? Right? Is that about it for questions? Because I do want to wrap up for a little bit. There's only 5 more minutes left.
Sure. I mean, I can always keep going. You know me, Linda, but take it away.
I think that's it. We pretty well did a whole hour, and I want to thank you, Nicole, and you, Colin, for all of putting this show together and doing all the marketing for it and everything that's happening, as well as today, and being willing to sit here and ask me a bunch of questions.
Highlight of our weekend. Oh, I love it.
Absolutely.
This is very cool. Just a year ago, I said I wanted to do a show. And here we are, and we're doing it. And it's the second episode, and I'm very grateful for all the support. I also want to thank Frances Flanagan, a very talented actress who did my intro, and Carl Craig, who wrote the music for my show. That's our little theme song. We've set the next episode. It's going to be February 20th, Saturday at 2 p.m. That's February 20th. And the topic is going to be what you want me to talk about. So I am going to open it up for calls. I want to hear from you guys. If anybody is listening, I want to know what you want to know, so that when I prepare topics for my monthly show, we can be talking about what you want to hear about. So I do want to encourage you to call in and let me know what kinds of topics you want to talk about or you want me to talk about. There was something else and I can't think of what it was. Oh, yeah. Thank you. My marketing guru. Facebook. Instagram. Yeah. yes, please follow the show on Facebook and Instagram. Do you want to go over that, Nicole? So
on Facebook, just search for Linda Darlow and it'll come up as Linda Darlow's page with the little icon of your profile saying "Don't Get Me Started," and they can like and follow there for all show updates. And Instagram is at LD Don't Get Me Started, and we'll have links to the show there as well. But you're welcome to send a message on Facebook or a direct message on Instagram if you have a question or a topic that you'd like us to cover in upcoming shows if you can't call in next month.
And this is why I have her. I could not have said that at all. So thank you, Nicole.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Colin. And stay with me, guys, and please keep checking back every month, February 20th, Saturday, 2 p.m. Okay.